Hello there. Hi. Welcome to Down the Dog. Come and join me. Come and pull up a stool. Okay. It's me, John Richardson.
You're talking to me like I'm a dog, though.
No, I'm talking to the punters. I'm talking to the listener that's just walked in. You're sat with me, old friend.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You're on the stool next to me.
Come on, then.
Come on.
Pull up a chair, mate. Plenty of space around here. What do you want to drink, mate? Pint of bitter.
Don't say it like that.
Why?
What do you want to drink, mate? Why are you saying it like that?
Drink now?
What's the matter? My beer not good enough for you, isn't it? Why won't you finish my pint there? Just finish that there, the dregs.
Have a soda water or some shit.
Get him a fresh one in.
Go drink some of it. Lynette has been in touch.
Mm-hmm.
The subject is on Chesil Beach.
Okay. The book that you're convinced I have read and described to you that I have no recollection of.
You told me about it. So on Chesil Beach, we discussed this, didn't we? Basically, it's an embarrassing scene with the man ejaculating. And I think
I don't remember it at all.
He and the woman both feel shame. And it ruins the relationship or something.
Okay.
Certainly to do with him ejaculating and it freaking them both out. So Lynette on Chesil Beach, it's a short email. It just says, oh God, I bought my mum that book because we used to go there every summer when I was a kid. I had no idea that's what it was about. Oh, Lynette, we need more. At what point did your mum get in touch?
Oh, I picture that she never has. I picture that is the moment the penny dropped for Lynette, that she just assumed it was a book about rock formations. Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, man, you've got to tell us. You've got to tell us more, Lynette. We need more.
No, I don't want any more. And I'll go as far as say, Landlord Danny, whatever Lynette's having at the bar, because that has perked me right up. The picture of an absolutely gutted mother. Just getting a few pages in and thinking, what does she mean by this? Should we get to the complaint?
Yeah. So we've had an email here from Andy.
Mm-hmm.
The title says, Noisy Neighbours. He says he loves the show. And if you don't mind me reading this bit out, he says, Matt's infectious positivity pre and now post cancer is remarkable. Inspirational is an overused word, so you'd be pleased to know I will never, ever be using it to describe you. I can't wait for the inevitable bumbag comedy tour / TV special. Bumbag? Well, that's not a bad title, actually. Because you know I shit in a bag, right?
No, go on.
Is that what he means, bumbag? Although I don't have a... I don't use my bum no more. But I've got a bag. Could be bum / bag.
But with a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that this has been, obviously you want to break America as well, and the fanny pack will not have the same... It's just not going to translate, is it? So if you want to do Madison Square Gardens, I would suggest a different title.
I could do bum bag for domestic, fanny pack for international.
What about, because of the Lonely Island, dick in a box, shit in a bag?
I did... Do you know what? I did pitch an idea to my management that involved the phrase shit in a bag.
You got management?
They politely said it wasn't a great idea. You can't really put it on the front of stuff, can you?
No.
So I thought, yeah, fair point. He says, now, with the niceties out of the way, I do have to register a complaint, and I wonder whether other listeners, pub patrons, are suffering the same oral discomfort. I'll be blunt. What the cock is going on with the ear-splitting bass-heavy beats that separate the ads from the banter? Have you heard this shit?
No.
It's the bass equivalent of Brian Blessed repeatedly slamming his cock into the car door. The speakers in my car rattle like fuck every time it blasts forth. Can we not have a little decorum, please? I suggest something more in keeping with the cardigan crowd and the mild drinkers sitting over him in the snug. We are not boy racers. I can't believe John has approved this antisocial assault on the ears. I'll leave it in your capable hands to raise this with the landlord. Much obliged. Well, that's from Andy in Worcester. Well, Andy, you'll have heard at the start of the show how cocky and loud the landlord was being.
Mm.
Maybe these ear-splitting volume levels are a result of his increased testosterone levels. Are they, Danny?
I want Andy to know that his message will be sandwiched between two bits of bass.
He's doubling down.
Oh my God.
He's whacking his cock against the car door, isn't he, Landlord Danny, this week?
He's gone double bass.
Well, if you hear the bass again, that's because, listener, you join us live for an email straight off the back of that from Colin in Stourbridge. Boys, I appreciate the effort you're making to make the dog feel homely and inviting, but I have to highlight the increasingly wide gulf that's being created between the homely welcome and the intense throbbing, grimy, high-octane, high-energy ident. I imagine it's called something arty-farty like that music. Time for a refresh listener competition. I'm thinking accordion, question mark. Superb to have you both coming in my ears again. Yours very sincerely, Colin from Stourbridge. So clearly complaints coming in. And Colin's suggestion is, would the listener suggest something a mite more appropriate? And I do agree. I think I've listened back to two of these. And that's nothing against yourself or Danny or the podcast format, which I'm broadly a fan of, seems to be working. The idea that I would voluntarily listen back to my own insane drivel is beyond me. But I do appreciate the music, let's be honest, was conceived at a time when this was very much a podcast about the young people playing the FPL, wasn't it? These 16, 17-year-olds, they're just coming into disposable income. They're about to go and see comedians on tour for the first time. They need noise to get their attention, and then they need phrases like double game week and Harry Kane. You know, these phrases we're all used to. The vibe now is very much who has got a stoma. And I do agree there is a transition necessary.
Yes, I think obviously young people clearly like the following noise. Colin Stourbridge suggests an accordion, but that would give it a sea shanty vibe, which I'm not against. If the dog is a pub that is near the sea, then I think that would be apt. But get in touch, hello at Down the Dog, and pitch us what you think our theme tune can be. It can be an original song, it can be an existing pop song, and we can discuss it every week, play clips of songs until we settle on a new one.
It can't be a pop song. We can't clear that.
All right.
Unless they go on the library music website.
Okay.
Any nerds out there?
Are we suggesting like listener compositions?
Listener compositions, or they can send us some.
Is there a library music website? I'm just Googling it now.
Yeah, Pod 5. That's one.
Hang on.
Yeah, I think it's Pod 5 that I used for I'm Cursed, the smash hit song.
We can play that in the theme tune.
Yeah, let's not do that. but I'm excited to hear some new tunes.
So it can be library music, it can be original music, but it cannot be existing pop music.
I'll put some library music links into the episode description. People can go and have a little search.
Great.
I mean, ideally, what you want is a like an original, though, don't you? You just want someone supreme. I went to watch this week, standing at Sky's Edge, the play set on the Park Hill Estate in Sheffield, set to the music of Richard Hawley. My God.
What, bad?
It's exceptional. Oh, it's exceptional. It's I'm a hip guy, and I'm in touch with my emotions, so I went on my own. Of course I did.
Did you cry?
I got very upset partway through the second half, and I had to contemplate leaving early to mitigate the lights coming up and me being revealed on my own in a busy theatre.
Is that part of the show?
No, but it happens at the end, doesn't it? They turn the lights on so you don't fall down the stairs leaving.
I'm teasing you because you're
the
wet.
What makes it? It's an absolute masterpiece. It's just it's not even that it's sad, it's just brilliant. Like the marriage of the music and the story, and because it's rooted on a, you know, famous estate, it's just bloody good. And I think the main source of the tears is the creeping realization that you are incapable of matching that artistically. You know, sometimes I've had a meeting with a publisher recently and you talk about, oh, do you know what, we love to see John Richardson do this, and you think, perhaps I'm going to write a masterpiece. And then you go to something that is a masterpiece and you think, I'm going to write a shit book that will sell a sufficient number to justify the advance in the run-up to Christmas.
I mean, I would work on your PR pitch, to be honest. Okay. It doesn't say buy me.
No, but I mean, I could write a book called Buy Me, And I think a publisher is capable of working out exactly how many that would sell and therefore how much they could afford to pay me to write that book and therefore be in profit.
But of course,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, it would be by you.
Yeah, by me. I mean, actually, this sarcastic 26 seconds has yielded a better title and pitch than anything I've come up with in the last few months. By me. That's a really good title.
Thank you. Good job. I hopped on the Zoom, isn't it, to brush up on your PR pitch. But I really want to drill down, John, into these hot, salty tears that ran down your cheeks. So you sat there on your own in a theatre?
1,300-seater, the Gillian Lynn on Drury Lane.
1,300?
About 1,300, I think. I say about
that.
I Googled it.
Full house?
Pretty much, yeah.
Busy enough. So
a few odds and sods knocking about. The dear do go into the theatre, isn't it, nowadays?
It is. And were other people weeping around you?
Oh, yeah, I could hear sobbing.
Northern sniffles.
And I'm going to say this now, it's going to sound like a joke. It's not meant to. I haven't felt that pressing emotion in the darkness in a theatre since I went to see An Exploration of Sound and Light by Anthony Hegarty from Anthony and the Johnsons, probably 10 years ago when I went to, I think it was at the Coliseum in London. And it was a very intense performance, really, really exploring sexuality and loneliness amongst a generation of gay men that I am not part of. And I felt like something of a voyeur in that theatre. But
well, if you have any idea what show John is on about, email us hello at Down the Dog.
If you were there, I'd love to know.
I'm interested. The fact that what made you cry was the fact that you're incapable of matching it artistically and not being moved by
I'm joking. It's an incredibly, because what it is the back catalogue of a fantastic artist put into the story. It's the story of people, but really the story is of an estate. And if you're from a council estate background and a working class background, to see that writ large on a West End theatre, and the estate itself really is the star, as much as the people stories weave throughout it, you're watching the story of people forced into a huge mass dwelling in the 60s that slowly declines and then comes back and is part of a sort of influx of poncy 21st century people who like the idea of paying over the odds to live in what was once a slum. That is a huge story. And then a writer, Chris Bush, who has weaved into that a narrative that marries the music and the story of the estate and an incredible story of the people within it. It's wonderful. It really is. And I'm not just saying that because they gave me free tickets to go and see it, because they didn't. I paid my money to go and see it. I went on my own and I loved it.
Well, you're making yourself sound simultaneously cultured, uncultured. And, you know, John, behind that superior exterior, there's a little softy in there, isn't there, with you? And you occasionally move to tears by highly manipulative bits of propaganda that have local music on it.
While we're discussing higher, it's about the miners' strike. I listened to your podcast with Johnny Owen. You'd be in fucking pieces. You wouldn't make it to the interval, you.
Yeah.
You'd have bought a 4-pack of Holston. You'd smuggled them in your little pockets.
Yeah.
And then you'd have been sat there leathered, crying.
That's true. You know what? I didn't. So I remain unweeped by this production. You, on the other hand, probably had to wash your trousers. There was so much salty water all over them. Did you ever do martial arts?
No, but I seem like the sort that would, don't I?
Yeah.
I seem like a sort of weedy kid that would think, I'm going to learn jiu-jitsu, and the next time he looks at me like that at the bus stop, I'm going to fucking Tang Soo Do him into next week.
Do you know what we call you these days?
Yeah.
Incel. You got incel written all over you. They'd be like, keep an eye on him. If you were in school now, the teacher would be like, he is a prime.
Yeah.
He's ripe for the picking, that one. Keep him turkey, because he'll go on a fucking spree if you're not careful.
Yeah, give him the French prize. Just keep him going.
Oh, I feel terrible now.
Do you know why you feel bad? because that insult was bang on the money. And you can say something horrific that's a joke, and then every now and again you can say something that is a little bit too true, and that's exactly what you've done there. You've cut me right down to the quick.
Oh, I'm sorry. But this is what friends do, isn't it? It's what friends do in the pub.
Absolutely, and it's what pieces of shit do too. Which one are you?
I'm a piece of shit. Remember that night we had where we'd been... Yeah. I think it was on Christmas where I think we drank every night of the month in December. Yeah. We're just doing each other's heads in, but in that terrible way where you get in a rut with it and you're like, we're going to have to go to the pub because you get like a bit of a buzz off the first one. It's not good. And then you're like, oh man. And we just like, let's just say.
To get to know people, weren't we?
Yeah. But we also then were like, we got to a point where we're annoying each other so much. Let's just say the most appalling thing to each other and look in each other's eyes and say it. Do you remember that?
I remember it vividly. And every now and again, I think I know someone well enough to tell them the things we said to each other that night. And let me tell you, it has never gone down well. Sometimes I say to people, do you know, I said to him, and then I tell them, and their face says, you're the worst person I've ever met in my life. And I've learned now, I will never, ever betray that confidence again. I will never tell people what we said to each other that night.
You can't. It's our private little secret, which is bad because we just raised it on a podcast. But I'll tell you what, guess. Hello at downthedog.com. Guess what John said to me. Guess what I said to him.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we were horrible to each other for sport.
It was hilarious, though. It was equally one of the funniest nights of my life.
We loved it.
Absolutely howling at a bar.
Man. The thing was, we were often the only people in those pubs. There were old men's pubs. We were like 20 odd. Well,
it's a very tricky thing, isn't it? When you, because those pubs now are, to my mind, horrific because they are pubs in houses, like streets of terraced houses that are now gastro pubs where you pay £30 for steak frites. And when we went to them, they were empty shitholes that smelt but had pool tables and showed football. And I know what I want a pub to be, but you have to appreciate there was nobody in there. So you can appreciate from a management point of view why they made that change. But I don't want to live in a world of gastro pubs that all smell the same, all look the same. They've all got those fucking Burt's crisps. Ugh. They've all got pictures of animals on the toilet doors. They've got fucking soap and hand cream in a toilet. If you've got a pub that's got hand cream in it, it's not a fucking pub.
Always get the wrong one.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you spend the rest of the week trying to get fucking hand cream out of your hands.
Terrible as well for the eczema boys and girls. Although we should take our own. I've got a full kit now, haven't I? I dread to think what the disabled toilets were like in those places that I didn't have to use back then, but now rely on.
Mm-hmm.
God, I can't imagine the crud that filled those bogs and sinks. Oh, makes me angry just imagining the fictional filth in a past pub. Christ, I write to someone about it. Actually, I did email a pub and complain to them about the state of the disabled toilet recently.
Oh, that's a good one. What was your last email of complaint?
Okay, so this was mine. Let me find it. I'm going to tell you, right? Let me tell you, because I thought...
I'll tell you mine, because mine's very recent.
Go on, what was yours?
I emailed a local high school about the behaviour of its students on a bus.
No way. You're
Absolutely.
That guy.
I am that guy. Because they were wearing branded paraphernalia and they were using cuss words in front of my child.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a few questions about this, John. State or private school?
State.
Okay.
Private, I would have gone in. I would have taken great joy. I would have taken a day off work to go in there.
I can only imagine what you'd have unleashed on the fee-paying so-called independent sector. So anyway, state school, they're wearing, when you say paraphernalia, do you mean uniform?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, I was trying to make it sort of football-y because of the tone of the pod. I was going to say, like, they had their jerseys on.
I wasn't sure if it was merch. So what age, we're talking secondary school?
Secondary school.
What age would you peg the naughty students at?
Betwixt 12 and 15.
Okay, so quite a range. So I'm guessing some bigger, older boys.
Yeah, I got the impression this was a social group that was, they used to travelling on the bus together rather than they choose to hang out. They felt very comfortable on the bus.
Okay, so tell us how they behaved.
They were just, we were on the top deck of the bus. I was with my daughter. Obviously, we're at the front pretending to drive the bus. She didn't want to. I insisted. They were mostly at the back of the top deck. That's fine. I talked to my daughter about that. That's where the naughty kids sit. But they conducted a conversation between the back of the bus, the top of the stairs, and the bottom of the stairs at loud volume throughout the journey using very coarse language.
To your best memory, can you quote as accurately as you can some of the things that were said and maybe even act them out for us?
No, I wouldn't, because they were just a sort of excited children being naughty in a way that is like it's thrilling to you when you're 13, but as an adult, you're just like, don't say that in front of my child.
So what sort of stuff?
The F word.
Okay, so they go, oh, fucking shut up, you fucking shut up, that sort of thing.
Yes, some sexual language.
Dick?
Possibly pussy-o.
No. On a bus?
Yeah, we're in that area.
I think the sound of you saying possibly pussy-o. Yeah. It's one of my, on the highlights of the history of this podcast. Oh, you were right to complain, by the way.
You've got to, haven't you? I told my daughter I'm going to, because I want her to know that that whilst I will not challenge a 13-year-old face-to-face, I will email the head teacher. You must have dug up your email now.
I have. I just started it. Hi there, I meant to message you a few weeks ago about this and forgot. You had been one of my favourite pubs, and then explain why.
Oh, that's the worst one, isn't it?
Yeah. Because it was true. Explained what happened, and then here we go. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I think you're going to like this. We will never come back.
Yes.
We found friendlier, better pubs near you that have accessible toilets they actually let you use. I wanted to let you know about this in the hope that you improve your disabled toilet. It's absolutely foul. The sink is disgusting, let alone the rest of it. You might not care about disabled customers or how you make them feel, but your actions have an impact on people and they will choose to drink elsewhere like we have. Matt.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Because I don't want it to sound like one of those ones like, oh, if we get a voucher, we might come back. I want him to know. Yeah. There is nothing you can say or do that will change my mind.
But equally,
piss me off, goodbye.
If they sent you a voucher and said they'd clean the toilet, you would go back.
No, fuck them.
No,
I've said
100 quid dinner voucher.
I'd give it to someone.
Oh, I don't know. Free meals and drinks for a year.
No, because I've said we'll never come back now. That means more to me. That means
there was
more
a hesitation
to me.
There, though. If the proprietors of this establishment are listening, the door is not shut. It might have been pulled too, but it's not locked and bolted.
No, because they've not got a proper lock on the disabled toilet, and that's part of the reason I'm not going back. So I'm digging in. Nothing they can say or do. Bye-bye, bad pubs with shit toilets. People need accessible toilets. You treat them like this.
While you were speaking, you reminded me of another one I've sent in the last fortnight. I'm not saying I've reached an age, but I emailed a national food chain about a promotional email that they sent that really pissed me off.
Okay.
Do I name and shame?
Yeah.
I think so. GBK.
Okay.
The Gourmet Burger Kitchen, yep. I think. I don't know how they got my email because I can't remember when I last went there. I don't think I've been to one for 5 years. So how they've got my email is already irritated me. They sent an email. If anyone's seen this email, they'll know that they'll have the same feeling of their arsehole falling onto the floor that I had. So you're working away. It comes in at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're busy at work. I'm a working guy. I work. I'm doing work. I'm not. Obviously, I'm pottering around on social media and whatnot. Email comes in from GBK. Thank you for your order. And then a reference number. So you naturally think, fuck me, I've been hacked. Somebody's got my details. Absolutely shat myself. Yes. So before I even open the email, because I think, oh God, you go into your banking app to see what money's come out and what else has come out. Click on the email. It says, now that we've got your attention, perhaps you'd like to hear about our new burger.
Fuck off.
You pieces of shit.
Get screwed.
I was absolutely fuming. So I had to go onto the website. The website, when you go to complain, it says you've got to mention a specific restaurant and a specific order number. I just wanted to send an email saying, fuck you. And I used exactly the language you emailed. I thought, I will never eat at any of your restaurants ever again.
That is such a mad, mad way to get people's attention. It can only be counterproductive.
I believe I used the phrase spectacularly misjudged.
Yes, I am John Richardson off the telly.
I don't think I'll put my name at the bottom, but I think my email is thelittleguyoff8out10cats@gmail.com. It's not, by the way. If you're going to send me spam, have the good grace to contact me on social media. But yeah, I was absolutely livid. I just pictured a little nana receiving that, ringing all her family. I've been hacked. They've had me.
It's terrible to do that to you, John.
To do it to people.
I'm just going to check GBK. If they've done it to me, I'm going to fucking email them right away. No, they haven't. I'm not on their list. I'll just pop it into Twitter. When was this?
Oh, here we go. 6 days ago. It's made the news. Here we go. GBK slammed after April Fool's joke raises scam fear. Customers panic after being sent fake GBK order emails. GBK has been slammed by customers after an April Fool's joke email left many worried they'd been hacked. Company's attempt at an April Fool's joke saw customers sent an email entitled Order Confirmation 10475-8092, causing some to panic under the belief that their account had been hacked to place orders without their knowing. Once open, the emails revealed to contain details about the company's new burger customization options, but customers were quick to complain on social media about the quote-unquote joke. Shameful. April Fool's email from GBK. More fool you. Unsubscribed. Been a victim of fraud in the past, and this is disgusting. One victim wrote, not Cleaver, brackets, sick, and not professional. As a previous victim of fraud, this sent my anxiety through the roof. Not at all impressed by the marketing department at Gourmet Burger Kitchen, complained another.
These
people need to know. Not Cleaver. I've backed them right up, and I'm not going to reference the Newber. Not Cleaver.
Do you know what? The first time I actually had a chicken goujon, it gave me terrible indigestion.
How do you remember that?
Because the pain, John. We remember pain.
How do you remember your first goujon?
I was late. I was a late bloomer on the goujon circuit. I'd say I was 17.
But a goujon's a nugget, isn't it?
No, it's chunkier than a nugget. It's a long strip of chicken breast.
So what are you blaming for the indigestion?
Goujon meant something that maybe had indigestive qualities.
There's no difference between a goujon and a nugget.
Well, size there is. Maybe I'll tell you what will have happened, John. I used to eat like a dog, and I will not have chewed it properly. I'm learning to chew my food now.
A goujon is a strip of meat taken from the underside of the muscular fish tail or chicken breast, sometimes coated in batter and deep fried.
Told you. But you wouldn't listen to me, would you? You had to go to your old mate, the internet.
But what I'm suggesting is you sort of blamed the indigestion on a goujon as if you've eaten nuggets for 30 years without a problem, and then you had a goujon and there was a problem. And what I'm saying is there's not enough difference between a nugget and a goujon for the transition to goujon to be the problem. What's happened that day is you've had 15 pints and snorted that goujon without chewing it, and that's what's 17. Led to the indigestion. You made it sound like
it's bigger than
I'll never have another goujon in my life.
Bigger than
I'll have a nugget. Of course I will, yeah. I'll have a battered strip. I'm not having another goujon.
I didn't know what goujon meant, and therefore I presumed that it would aggravate my stomach. So I stayed way away. The goujon and I did not meet again until the 30s. And that was from 17 onwards. So for more than a decade, I avoided chicken goujons because I thought maybe it's something to do with the recipe or something that aggravates me.
Yeah, twat.
Without realizing that I just needed to chew. I need to take my time and chew.
Okay.
I tell you what, there's something about you having a stoma when you
know, here he comes. He's embarrassed himself. So he's going to mention the stoma again.
Getting the old stoma vote out there. The fact that you see everything that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you sort of just ponder it a bit more. I'll say that.
Interesting. I'm a big looker anyway.
I get that, but it's obviously raised. It's
submerged.
Yeah, and you're seeing it, and you're obviously manipulating it out the bottom of the bag so you can feel it. So you're like, I should have chewed that. I can feel it. It's a fucking hole. Just like a bag of edamame. being emptied into the toilet.
Oh, God. It's an entire meal.
Yeah,
coming out.
Man, I must have just like, I must have just.
It's fucking still
forward,
in the bag.
Opened my mouth above the plate and just gone. Sucked it up like a UFO.
There's a spoon in there.
Talking of. Did I mention voting yet? I can't remember if I did. Make sure you're registered to vote, by the way.
Don't you dare.
What do you mean, don't you dare?
You cannot go from I don't chew food to guys, register to vote, because if you don't have a vote, you don't have a voice.
Well, there are local elections in May.
Is that the one show the fucking gear changes on this podcast?
I've got my postal ballot through.
Yeah.
I'll get a postal vote now, just in case I'm away. Hang on,
I think it's a good idea anyway, because you can still turn up on the day. I think everybody should be registered for the postal vote, because if you get it in time, fantastic. If not, you can still turn up on the day.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming up later on the podcast, Roland Riveron will be talking about Scrabble and whether it can delay the onset of Alzheimer's. Join us next time, but for now, it's over to the weather with Carol.
Thanks very much. Well,
Carol.
I thought we were improving.
We were, but I don't think you can do Carol Kirkwood. I think that's blasphemy, maybe it's too strong, but whatever the thing under blasphemy is.
Satire, mate. I'm a satirist. Yeah,
not Carol Kirkwood. Yeah, I know. I've seen your satire. It's Galloway, it's Farage, it's Safe Targets.
Let me tell you what the weather will be like tomorrow, because it will rain an unholy war on those that have opposed. Oh, yes, you may laugh, John Richardson. You may laugh, and I will tell you that you will cry hot, salty tears unto yourself.
Well, I tell you now, and it's a wonderful impression, but you're not getting any emails from upset Galloway supporters. You do Carol Kirkwood, mate, and you reap the backlash. Go on. End this podcast doing Carol Kirkwood. And let me just... I'm stepping away from this, so this is nothing to do with me.
Well, in Manchester tomorrow, there is a light rain and a gentle breeze. Highs of 15, lows of 9. That will cool down throughout the week until Thursday, when there are highs of 18 and lows of 12. And don't forget, don't fuck your stoma. That's all from me. Back to John.
Thanks, Carol.
That's okay.
What are you up to
the
weekend?
How'd you find that then? Do you like handing over from a... I don't know if you call me a weather girl anymore, but how did that... You okay with that?
I think you're a meteorologist. I respect your profession. I wouldn't call you a weather girl any more than I'd call someone a trolley dolly. I think you're a qualified meteorologist, and you speak to the nation, you give them the information they need.
Thank you, John, because I was going to open a pub called the ISO Bar, but I couldn't get planning permission. But I love what you've done with the dog and... B word. You know me, I'm on the BBC, so can't swear even off here. But
don't fuck your stomach, okay, is it?
I'm so glad you wrote the letter of the complaint to that school, because those kids were
Bye, Carol.
Bye, John.
That's it for this episode of Down the Dock and your career, I think.
Very possibly, but mate, I'm a satirist. Yeah, we speak truth to power. We pop the bubble.
You're one of those people saying, I'll do jokes about everyone.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We have our place in society. The jester.
He'll do Carol Kirkwood. Nothing on Thomas Schaffernacker. We've had a... Can I just read you an email with the subject line, dog up the arse?
There's nothing I'd like more.
It comes from Reese, and it says, John asked about teams bringing a dog in to help the players. It's a chat we had on last week's pod about therapy dogs, but being used to help struggling footballers.
Yeah.
Arsenal did such a thing last year when they brought Wynn, the training ground dog. If you want to read about it and possibly end up expelling something I'm sure the dog itself would enjoy eating, here's a link where they discuss how the dog represents family at the club that put Gunnosaurus on furlough. Arteta, our dog, represents our family. There's a new member of the Arsenal family at London Colney Training Ground, but this edition isn't part of the playing squad. It's a chocolate Labrador that has taken up residence. Named Wynn, she spends most days with her primary carer being full-time Colney member of staff. Mikel Arteta has brought in the dog to help develop the family atmosphere at the club, and says the reaction from players and staff alike has been incredible. So there you go. That's potential title winners, Arsenal. I was being slightly sarcastic when I suggested that teams might have brought in a dog to help the players. And I was expecting a lower league anecdote, not in terms of its quality, purely its location. And yet you go straight to the top of the Premier League to see that Arsenal have brought in a chocolate Labrador to make the players feel more comfortable at the training ground.
Lovely looking dog as well.
Fit dog, that. Dog of the week?
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's our dog of the week. Win.
First pro dog.
Crikey. Everything's getting professionalised now, isn't it?
He's going to be snooty coming in at that dog. He's going to look at our other pub dogs. Usually it's like, have you got a dog with like a weird shaped bollock? This week it's, have you got a dog who works at potential title winners? That dog is not going to be happy in the dog, is it?
Well, you'd like to think that given its nature, it would be a modest dog, you think? Or do you think it's gone big time? London, in it? North London, big time?
Yeah, I think if you can get the best out of Bukayo Saka, you can probably encourage landlord Danny to maybe look at the customer he's serving.
Okay. Is that what the dog's saying?
No, I think that's what you'd hope from the dog. If this is a professional dog, as much as it's going to feel it's slightly slipped beneath its sort of standing, it would just look at the job in hand, sort of like a manager, and say, well, do you know what? This is where we are, so let's do what we can.
Mark has sent an email, and John, I've never felt so vindicated on my life.
Oh, God, I'm not going to want to hear this then, am I?
He says, after hearing Fordy on the last podcast, ask if just one listener has been repeating, gotta stick a tube down my dick.
I'm a primary school teacher from Newbury, and I've recently been made unemployed.
He says, I can confirm I've definitely been repeating, gotta stick a tube down my dick at work the past days. I work on a new student accommodation site.
Not far off.
Well, actually, it's in Nottingham as well, so we shouldn't disclose the location in case you get shot. Just over the road from the big derelict building that two people were murdered in and was featured in the show Britain's Most Evil Killers. Anyway, a few people at work have heard me say this as a confused look from one of the painters came my way after bolting out one morning after having a shitload of caffeine. Glad you're still alive, Matt. Love the pod. All the best. Come on, you Reds. Mark. Stickers. I tell you what. Bluetoothers have you seen the big radios builders have? The Makita ones.
Oh, yeah. They look like dehumidifiers.
Yeah. And then blasting music comes out. Yeah. Like fucking Roman Kemp on the Capital Breakfast Show. You're like, you like to be listening to something a bit stiffer than that, shouldn't you? But anyway, hook us up to that. Get us Bluetooth to that. Give the lads on the site a treat. And they can all stick a tube down there, Dick.
It's funny, isn't it? Obviously we have meetings about, it's not that we're jealous of other podcasts, is it? But there are podcasts that are slicker, that know what they are, that know how to market themselves. This is not one of those. And obviously sometimes we have a little meeting about what could we do better. And they get an email like that and you think, any change we make to this podcast does not end with us getting an email from a guy saying, I work next to a building where people got murdered and I frequently shout, I've got to stick a tube down my dick. And you think, well, let's not change it. Because I don't want to not get that email.
This is what we came into broadcasting for. This is
absolutely inform, entertain,
educate.
And, yeah, we'll leave that one. But, you know, if we can inform and entertain, then we're sort of doing all right, aren't we?
Well, this is the reality of self-catheterization. You know, it may sound like lowbrow, but actually we are highbrow because we are educating people about the realities of living with the life post major surgery.
So it's our first professional pub dog, win the dog. Nobody in Stoma Corner this week and nobody in Bullshit Corner, I don't think. That's all the time we've got for this week. Don't get up the cat, get down the dog.
If you've been affected by anything mentioned in today's show, please get in touch. hello@downthedog.com. When did you last cry? Let us know. Although, yeah, I cried reading the book of the bass player from Dire Straits when he mentioned the fact that someone I wasn't even aware of had died early. I was like, oh, man. So, I dug you out.
I think it's better than who do you know who's died? I think you're learning as a broadcaster. And I would when did you last, when I'll go further, when did you last cry in public?
Great. hello@downthedog.com. And you can join us on another slice. If these episodes aren't long enough for you, we do get people getting in touch and we want more. Well, now your dreams can come true. For just £3 a month, you can get the Down the Dog lock-in. We get another couple of episodes a month, outtakes and much more. There's a brand new episode going up this very week. Go to anotherslice.com/downthedog. For the love of God and your own body, share, subscribe, leave a 5-star written review, and don't fuck your stoma.